Let's get right to our top story. The deal to limit Iran's nuclear activity in return for the lifting of economic sanctions. After years of talks, negotiators announced the agreement in Vienna early this morning.
And soon after that, President Obama spoke at the White House. He said that under the terms of the deal, Iran will not produce the raw materials necessary for a nuclear weapon and will get rid of 98% of its stockpile of enriched uranium.
To put that in perspective, Iran currently has a stockpile that could produce up to 10 nuclear weapons. Because of this deal, that stockpile will be reduced to a fraction of what would be required for a single weapon. This stockpile limitation will last for 15 years. Because of this deal, Iran will modify the core of its reactor in Iraq so that it will not produce weapons-grade plutonium. And it has agreed to ship the spent fuel from the reactor out of the country for the lifetime of the reactor.
Jim Walsh is here and now security analyst. He's with the Security Studies Program at MIT. And Jim, so here we are on the day that you've said for quite a while you thought would arrive. Now that we're here, what do you think are the most significant or surprising aspects of this deal?
Well, I think we need to step back and appreciate how historic, how big this is. It's a huge win for nonproliferation. This is arguably the strongest multilateral negotiated agreement in the nuclear age. It's certainly more robust than the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty and other nonproliferation agreements we've had. So I think it's a big win, and I think it's historic also because for 35 years, the U.S. and Iran have been at each other's throats. This doesn't solve all those problems, but it does create the possibility for the two countries to act like adults, to disagree and compete in some areas, but to cooperate and try to solve problems in other areas. So both for foreign policy, but most importantly, for nuclear nonproliferation, it's a big day.
So I hear your support for the agreement, but on the other hand, President Obama still has Congress to contend with. So
yes.
your reactions on what could happen as Congress now has, 60 days to say what it has to say about this deal?
Yeah, I was up before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee a couple of weeks back testifying. I think there is skepticism there. But at the end of the day, I do not – here's another bold prediction, Meghna. I do not think that Congress is going to kill this deal because Congress may want to criticize, but do they want to take responsibility for collapsing the negotiations? Remember, this just isn't an Obama deal. It's an international agreement with Britain, France, Germany, the IAEA, the UN. They're all supporting this. If Congress pulls the plug on it, we're going to be blamed. I don't think they're going to want to take that on.
Before we talk about the sanctions part of this, tell me a little bit more, Jim, about why you think this deal in particular is more robust than other non-proliferation
sure.
deals. I mean, that's an interesting idea there.
Well, one of the things I said to Congress is, you don't assess an agreement by simply sort of picking out things and saying, oh, this could happen, that could happen. You have to compare it to something. So to assess an agreement, you want to compare it to past agreements,
right,
successful and unsuccessful, and also compare it to your alternatives, the probability of success and cost and benefits there. Compare this to the NPT, the most successful national security treaty, I think, in the history of the nuclear age. The NPT had no enforcement clause. It allowed for nuclear tests. It did nothing to control nuclear materials enriched above, 20% or really for any enriched material. I don't think that treaty would have survived Congress today, and yet it is the most important contributor to nonproliferation in history. And this agreement is substantially more detailed and substantially stronger than that.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, let's talk about the sanctions side of this historic agreement. Here's Iranian President Hassan Rouhani today. And he said the lifting of some of those sanctions and the deal opens a new chapter in Iran's relations with the world. Here he is speaking through an interpreter.
I'm pleased that today, with the negotiations of the Islamic Republic of Iran and the six main powers, today we have been able to reach a new point, a new level.
Jim, let me ask you. So the sanctions part is important, but I'm also wondering, if you're Iran's neighbors in the region, Iran has already been flexing its influence around the region, despite a deal or no deal. Does this make them a little more apprehensive? How do you feel if you're Yemen or Saudi Arabia?
Well, I think if you're Saudi Arabia, remember, Meghna, that Saudi Arabia is Iran's major rival in the region. Everyone focuses on Israel, but it's really the Saudi-Iranian rivalry that has driven violence there. I don't think it's going to have a big impact on that. If Saudi Arabia is worried about Iran, the beneficial effect impact of that might be to drive Saudi closer to the U.S., to make them more dependent on the U.S. In the region. You could code that as a positive. You know, hopefully the two will find a way to turn the volume down on that, because that's what's really fueling a lot of the ugliness in the region.
Mm. Well, Jim Walsh is here and now as a security analyst with the Security Studies Program at MIT. We look forward to having you back to see if your other prediction comes true sometime in the future. Jim, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Jim, by the way, you say this is not President Obama's number one foreign policy achievement.
I say it's in the running. Yes, I don't know, but it's got to be up
there. Bigger than Cuba, you think?
Bigger than Cuba. Okay. You know, anything you do, he's the first president in 35 years to do this. That's sort of big.
All right, we'll keep watching.